Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or conditions or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
Today as Pastor Larry speak, as you speak through Pastor Larry, Lord God, I just pray that we'll be blessed. I ask you for all these blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may please take your seats. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Children's Ministry, you are dismissed. And what a great thing it is to see all these happy faces here this morning, having made their way through the rain to come into the Lord's house. Amen?
Amen.
If you're excited about being in God's house today, say amen.
Amen.
There we go. That's what we're talking about. Earl, it's so good to see you. Get back this morning, buddy. Listen, folks, here's how you know Earl is not in the hospital. Earl is in church. And there's a sermon in that somewhere. But if you will, please, if you need a Bible, our men are working their way from the front to back. Just hold your hand up. They'll make sure that they get a Bible in your hands. Please turn in the Word of God to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 16 and 17, but we'll be focusing first on verse 23. If you have the Word of God, whether it's in digital form or printed form in your hand, hold it up all over the sanctuary. Amen. Nothing like having God's Word in our hand. You know, as we come each and every week to Living Hope Church, we declare and we proclaim the grace of God and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is a hymn book. It's all about Him, the Lord Jesus. I love that song, Mercy Tree. Matter of fact, I loved all the music we sang this morning. That's just the way I am, though. You know, as we start this new series called Healthcare, what am I doing here? We're going to be looking at our spiritual health through this four-week series. It'll actually span 5 weeks because we have a break in the middle in 3 weeks for Pastor Doug Saunders, who will be in town on the 23rd. We'll be looking at our personal health. We'll be looking at our church health and how we are doing there. If you've ever had any problems with your spiritual health, raise your hand in the sanctuary this morning. That's amen. That's good. I want you to know I'll be preaching right to you folks this morning. But I'll really be preaching to those of you that didn't raise your hand, because we've all had those days. We've all had those times, those struggles. Amen?
Yes.
So, as you've looked at the Word of God, Colossians chapter 3, this series focuses on verse 23. We're going to read that this morning. And I would like for you to make it a practice over this next 5 weeks, 4 weeks, that you memorize Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It'll stand you well in the course of your life. Reading that first, Colossians 3, 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. The overriding question you should have in your life as we go through our life as Christians is that very question. Is what I am doing being done with all my heart for the Lord Jesus Christ? Today, as we start this series and we look at healthcare, we're going to be talking about symptoms. Next week, we're going to talk about the prescription, followed by rehab or therapy, and then we'll be talking about the healthy Christian life. Amen? You know, I went to the doctor this past week. I had had... some of you know that I had a large skin cancer removed, or a large tumor removed from my face about 6 years ago, I believe. And 5 years ago. Thank you, Ms. Ruth Ann. That's my walking calendar of my life over there. And when they did the surgery, Dr. Fiddler, I was cut from here, from my ear to my chin. And, you know, I was working in the children's ministry at that time, and I said, Lord, you know, if you can work it out, so that this doesn't make a scar that would scare new children The children that are in our church know Pastor Larry. They love Pastor Larry, so they weren't that worried about it, even though they got wonderfully gruesomed out by wanting to look at it all the time when I had the scar. You know, they love that. Oh, Pastor Larry, that looks terrible. But you know what? God just worked it out, and the scar, you can't even tell unless I were to point it out. You know, amen. God, the surgeons may do the cutting, but God does the healing. And after all, who would want to mess with this? I mean, really, you know. You know, the problem we see as we talk about healthcare in the church, healthcare in our spiritual lives, the problem we seem to see in the modern church is Sunday morning religion. It's Sunday morning religion. Actually, let me rephrase that. The problem that we see with the modern church is Sunday morning only religion. Sunday morning only. Most Christians come to church to worship, when we should be bringing our worship to church. Amen. Our lives should be lived in a life and an attitude of worship. We should be bringing our worship to church, and when we leave, we should take our worship with us. Amen? There should be something different about us that the world finds attractive. Every day should be a holy day. Every act should be a sacred act to the glory of God. Everything that we do should be done to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we begin this series, ask yourself, has my life done that? Is everything that I do glorify the Lord? You know, because when you mess up, the first thing that the atheist will do is tell you that's not very Christian-like. Isn't it amazing they hold us to the very standard that they do not accept for themselves? As we look at today's passage in the same chapter of the Word of God, Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and we'll continue reading a little later on in it, what a magnificent passage this is. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. When you read that passage, now that's what I call a worship service. Whatever you do, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you in wisdom. Let it dwell in you teaching and admonishing one another. Did you notice that we sing praise songs, hymn? We sing worship songs, and yes, we sing hymns here. There is nothing worse than a song of any one of those three categories that is sung like you just walked into a funeral somewhere. I love that last hymn that we sung. It was sung as a praise and an offering of worship to our mighty God. Friends, may I ask you this, as we think about our worship time this morning, why does God want us to worship Him? Why? Why is He asked that of us? What is the true purpose of worship? Does our worship actually enrich God? I don't think so. When you give God your money, God is no richer. When you give God your strength and your labor, God is no stronger. When you give God your knowledge, God certainly doesn't learn anything. God is completely and totally self-sufficient. He requires nothing. Friends, here is the crux of the matter. God wants us to worship Him, not for what worship does for Him, but for what worship does for us and what it does in our heart. Why? Because we become like what we worship. I'm going to say that again. We become like what we worship. If you worship idols, you'll become as that idol. What is an idol? An idol is anything in your life that has more attention or has attention that is first in your order of priorities above God. If there's anything that you do in your life that is more important than your worship of God and your regards of God and how you think of God, you have an idol in your life. Amen? Amen. So, when you worship idols, you become like idols. But if we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we become like the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing that is. And here's the amazing thing, the absolutely incredible thing about worship. There are always more people that can give more money than you can give in your act of worship during the tithes and offerings. I would like to make a short note, is that we hit an all-time high in our giving for ROC Ministries. That's where this 100% of that offering will go this month, down in El Salvador, for those children that we take out of those streets, out of those cities, to have it in their vacation Bible school. 250 of these children, guys. That's what you guys are doing. It's an incredible, incredible, incredible thing. Okay? But the Spanish ministry, because they're so energized, they're so excited to be part of Living Hope, gave more as their portion than they've ever given before to missions. And that's the last time I'm ever going to say anything about the Hispanic ministry as far as singling them out for anything. Listen, friends, there is no us and them in this church. There is Living Hope Church. I was sharing with some of our leaders this morning, for far too long in all churches, for some reason, the Hispanic ministry, or the Haitian ministries, or whatever other language ministry there is, has been treated like a stepchild. It's been treated like us and them, and that is in no way, shape, or form how the Living Hope Church will be. Brother Jim, one of our elders, is along with our men, tally up the offering. By the way, I believe last week was the largest offering we've ever received, if I remember correctly, or it's real close. I like the number you sent. But here's why I say that, friends. Brother Jim sends us one number. He sends it to myself and Pastor Carol. He does not say this is what the Anglo sent and this is what the Spanish ministry sent. This is what Living Hope Church gave to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's the amazing thing about worship. There are always people that can give more money than you can. There's always people that can sing better than you. Always. There's people who can understand the Word of God better than you. There's certainly people that can teach the Word of God better than you. I've said many times, there are many people that can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ better than me, but no one can preach a better gospel. There is just the gospel. Amen? But listen, here's the secret. All of those things people can do better than you, but no one can worship better than you can worship. No one. Now, how is it possible that no one can worship better than you? Here's your nugget. Here's your nugget for this week. It's because you can have all of God that you want. You can have all of the Spirit of God that you are willing to embrace. You want all of God, He'll give it to you. You want to be obedient, He'll give it to you. You have no need to persuade God to bless you. He wants to bless you. You simply need to allow Him to do so and to be obedient to what He's called you to do. Listen, our greeters, I got a phone call this morning, almost all of our greeters are out with the flu. All those smiley people we run into, out with the flu. And they were so worried, I said, get better, don't come in. Bless your heart, let me pray. All right, your church loves you, stay home. Okay, but listen to me. That's the amazing thing about worship, is that you can have all of the Lord that you have. You simply need to permit Him to do so. Did you know that a child can worship magnificently? Miss Heather was sharing a story and sent me a picture of little Alana, the little girl we baptized recently. And they were driving somewhere. Miss Heather had on the praise music in the car. And they looked in the rearview mirror. And Alana was in the back seat, her eyes closed, her head back, her arms out, in a full-throated defense of the Lord Jesus Christ in praise and worship to the song on the radio. Isn't that good? A child can have all of the Lord. Look at how beautiful verse 16 is in today's passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I truly love the worship service here at Living Hope Church. I do. I've already been blessed this morning. If you've been blessed this morning by our worship, say amen.
Amen.
The rest of you guys were dead. But our worship should never, ever end when we leave this building on Sunday morning. Worship should extend to the rest of our lives. Look, if you will, at verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do what? A double L, all. I looked at the Greek, I look at the Aramaic version of it. I look at all the nuances of it. And here's what that means. It means all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What is worship? Worship is doing everything in the name of Jesus and giving God thanks for it. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 11, we should have this up on the screen. It says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in what? All things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and forever. Amen. You could say amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. When you display the symptom of worship, when you display the symptom, you got that? Symptom of worship. Here's what happens. The so-called secular is sanctified. The everyday is edified and God is glorified. Amen. You want to know the mistake so many of us make? We want to divide our life up like we divide a pie. We got this pie of our life. Okay? Oh, let me go. Let me cut this piece right here. 1/10. Here you go, Lord. 1/10 of this pie. That's all for you. Oh, wait a minute. What about my time? Oh, let me cut up. 1/7. 1/7 of this pie, Lord. Here you go. That's for you, God. Sunday, this 1/7, Sunday is all about you, God. Really? That's my holy day? Here's the problem. Is when our life is judged, God judges the whole pie. Now, I'm on Weight Watchers. I had full intentions of having an apple pie here. But I said, Satan, get behind me. I'd be up here fighting off some of you Baptists. I know that for sure. God looks at the whole pie because all of that pie belongs to God. The Bible says, the world, the universe, the creation, and everything in it is mine, thus saith the Lord. So, not just the part that we give on our tithe, not just the day that we come to church, but we should live our whole lives, live so that there is no ground where we tread, no ground where we walk that is not holy. There is no time that is not sacred and given over to the Lord in our life. There are no riches that do not belong to God. When you live a life with open hands, look at me, church. If you live a life with open hands when it comes to your finances and your time and your worship and your heart, God can fill it back up. Whatever you give, God can fill it right back up. He wants to bless you. But you sometimes we hold on to what we have so much that God doesn't have that chance. God can't put anything in closed fists, friends. He needs open hands in our lives. God is not looking for us to have a holy switch to turn off and on Sunday mornings. Listen, folks, I know I'm very annoying to my wife. You guys may find that surprising. But I've got a switch that's pretty much always on. Unless it's something chore she wants me to do. And the switch goes right to off. Now, yesterday, I had to work because we're going to the pastor's conference this week. Myself and Pastor Carol, Miss Ruth Ann, and Miss Fanny, Pastor Carol's wife. And so, since I'm bivocational pastor, I worked yesterday and I worked last Saturday. And so while I was working and making sure I had the message ready for today, Miss Ruth Ann was out sanding and staining and painting the front doors of our house. You should have seen her. I got pictures. See me later. But let's talk about church people for a moment. Have you ever heard church people that change their voice for church? You know, they speak normally if you're at the Denny's, if you're out somewhere. But when they get to church, they sound like they have a steeple stuck in their throat. Thee and thine and thou. And comest hither. And they got a 45-pound Bible. Which is fine, I've got those as well. But I don't want to lug that thing around up here while I'm trying to preach. Friends, we are to live for Jesus Christ every day. In every way. We don't turn it on. If you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to turn on your holy switch. God already turned it on. God flipped that on. You're the one who keeps flipping it back off. And when you come to worship on Sunday morning, whoa, Holy Spirit flips it back on. Amen? Amen. Ah, I see. I'm making making progress here. All right, so listen, folks. I have three simple points. You're going, Lord, this guy's been preaching a while. We haven't got to any points yet. That's all right. I'm halfway through my message. That's a shame. But three simple points today so we can see if our life displays the symptoms of proper health, a proper healthy spiritual life. First, is my life consistent with the personality of Christ? Is my life consistent with the personality of Christ? Let's make this simple. The real question is, Christians, can Jesus Christ sign off on what I'm about to do from moment to moment? Because friends, if he can't, you shouldn't. If he can't, I shouldn't. People are always asking me, is it right to do this? Does the Bible say I can do that? Can I do this? Can I do that? You know, what they really want me to do is to give them a list of rules and regulations. The Bible is not a detailed rule book. It's a book of great principles. Here's an example. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul writing, "Thou shalt not go to an X-rated movie"? No. People back then would have gone, "What's X-rated?" Come to think of it, what's a movie? It would not have applied. The real question is to ask yourself, can Jesus Christ sign off on this thing I'm going to do? Can he sign off on this movie I'm watching? Can he sign off on this book I'm reading? Can he sign off on everything that I've done? Can he sign off on how I'm acting in the workplace? Can he sign out on how I've done my job as a Christian in the workplace? Young ladies, ask yourself. Ask yourself this question. Young ladies, look up here. I'm talking to you guys. Don't worry, I'll get to the young men and the husbands and wives here in a moment. Ask yourself, would I dress this way? I'm not talking about this morning. I'm talking about day by day. Would I dress this way if the Lord Jesus Christ were right here?
Amen. Amen.
The answer is, there's no time when Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again believer, is right here. There is no time. So dress appropriately. If you had the slightest inkling of what goes on in a young man's mind when you a young woman is dressed inappropriately, it's something they simply can't turn off. They can't do it. So dress appropriately. I'm getting some looks out there. I'm going to move on. Young men, ask yourself, would I try this approach with this young lady if the Lord Jesus Christ were sitting right here? And young ladies, you ask the same thing. And if he's acting inappropriately, I want you to reach around behind you, wherever you're sitting or standing, get a full wind up, and slap him in his face so hard that his left ear meets his right ear. Young men, you represent Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Think about that. Don't go beating up on him, though. What am I saying? Why am I saying all this? Verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Christians, live like that every day. Second, does my life claim the power of Christ? Does my life claim the power of Christ? Listen, friends, the name of Jesus isn't just about his personality. It also stands for his power and his authority. In the book, in John chapter 14, verse 14, we read, Jesus speaking, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." You see, when we bring his name into it, he begins to do it. He doesn't say, "If you ask in my name, then I'll help you do it." He literally says, "I will do it." But here's the secret. He will not do anything inconsistent with his personality. He will not do anything inconsistent with his nature, and you should not either. And you should know when you ask the Lord for certain things that God wants to bless you. But if you're asking for something that is worldly or is an idol in your life, it's not going to get answered. I made a mistake many, many years ago, and the Lord, of praying a certain prayer, I thought it was a mistake at the time. It turned out to be a blessing. I prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, please teach me some patience." Bad prayer. Because
yeah.
He will. He will. He absolutely will teach you patience. So listen, When you bring Jesus' name into something, you bring His divine personality into it. Please turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Those of you with the paper Bible, when you're there, somebody say amen. Wow, you guys are there. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. This is when the Lord Jesus sent out the 70. It says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority." Who gave him the authority? Jesus. "I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but what? Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." I've spoken about that so many times. Your name is written. It's continuously written. It will never go away in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, there was success because the disciples' actions were consistent with the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we act the same way, then Jesus gives us that same power and authority. When we pray back here in this room, and by the way, if you want to get in on some good stuff, be here about 10 minutes after 11 and go in the prayer room with me and the prayer team. You'll be blessed. What do we pray for? We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit will come in power and speak through this pale piece of pig's ear standing up here behind this pulpit. Lord, do something with this guy. Use him to preach your word. I went right off my notes again. So we preach in his power, and his authority when the prayer has come down. And we don't need anything else. There's nothing else you need in your life other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives all the power, He gives all the authority, He gives all the grace and all the mercy that you should ever need. This means, therefore, that we're to do everything in the authority of Jesus. You're to raise your child in the authority and the name of Jesus Christ. You know, last night I was texting back and forth with Austin, Miss Melanie and Brother John's son over at TCU about football. But because we're Christians, it was more than just a football connection. The connection between two believers and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had that correction. That young man has been raised in the ways of the Lord. What a great job they have done with that young man. And with Travis, their other son. John, we're working on. Moving on. Listen. If you're a young person, you are to do your homework. If you're going to school, if you're going to college, you're to do your homework in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. For those of us who are married, after all, I haven't really meddled in your life in about 15 minutes here. Look back at our passage here today, all right? Look at verse 18. It says, "Wives," don't start throwing stuff at me, especially those looks. "Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting to the Lord." This is better said, "Wives, submit to your husbands in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, before we move on here, do you know what true submission is? True submission is one equal voluntarily placing themselves under the authority of another equal. Woman was taken from the side of man. Husbands, wipe those smiles off your face. Men and women are equal in the sight of God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, everyone. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, just a few chapters before today's passage. Galatians 3:28. Reading from the Word of God. If you're there, say amen. Amen. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." Look on down in today's passage. Looking at verse 19. "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." The Bible says in a matching passage in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." How much did Christ love the church? So much that he died for the church. Husbands, if your wife knows she is number two in your life after God, If she knows that you would die for her without hesitation, if she knows that you always have her back, and if she knows that your heart has only room for Christ and her, submission is never an issue. Never. Now listen closely, husbands, to what I'm going to say now. Try to ignore all the writing your wife is doing right now. Ignore the elbows on your side. If you get mad at what I'm about to say, husbands, you can come apologize to me after church. You ready for this? Your wife's submission to you, husbands, your wife's submission to you is only a reflection of what she sees in your submission to Jesus Christ. It's a straight reflection. Submit to Christ. Live as a godly man. Raise your family in the power of the Lord. And watch your wife just blossom into this magnificent, wonderful flower. Miss Ruth Ann already was one of those. She had to pray hard. She wore out her knees. She wore out her shoulders down on her knees praying for me. In case I've never said it before, thank you, honey. Listen. Submission is a godly trait. I've had some people say, you know what, you go into church, you got all those Christian men. Yeah, the strongest men I've ever seen in my life were the ones kneeling at the altar. By far. Now, I'm a former airborne ranger in the military. I was qualified for Delta Forces in the Army. But I'm here to tell you, friends, that the strongest men I've ever seen in my life are in this church. By far. It has nothing to do with what the world calls strong. So, first, when I want to do something, is it consistent with the personality of Jesus Christ? Second, does it claim the power of Jesus? Finally, does my life culminate in the praise of Christ? Does my life culminate in the praise of Christ? When you do everything in the name of Jesus, you do it for His honor. You do it for His glory, and your life is lived in praise for Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that good? Young people, let's say you're praying for your lost professor or your lost teacher. Let me ask you this, for those of you in college. Are you doing your homework in such a way that it brings glory to Jesus Christ? Are you attentive in class so that professor notices you? He notices that there's something different about you. Wives, are you praying for your husbands to be saved and for them to be godly men? You should be living in such a way that Jesus gets praised by the way that you live. In all ways, in all days, and in all things. Living Hope Church, you want to know the best way to witness to the lost? Is to display healthy Christian symptoms as our praise team comes. You need to live a life that is consistent with the personality of Jesus Christ. You need to live a life that calls upon the power of Jesus. You need to live a life that culminates in the praise of Christ. When you do things, do people know that you do it for Jesus Christ? Do folks know that there's nothing in your life that is more important to you than your salvation? Do people know that your heart weeps for those people that are not going to be in heaven, that you don't have a spirit of arrogance about you, but that you have a spirit of love and compassion, and you are ready to extend grace and mercy just as Christ has extended the same grace and mercy? In other words, can you take what we just spoke about here today, what we just did here today in our praise and worship, can we turn our Sunday morning religion into a rest of your life and the rest of your week, life of service to Jesus Christ? Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do heartily to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and not for men." If you do that, I absolutely promise you, your life will be so different. You know, because you're carrying that worship out of here every day of the week. There is no time when you feel apart from your God. There is no time when you feel apart from the Holy Spirit. There is no time when you don't feel the grace and mercy that Christ showed in dying on the cross for you. And so that would mean that every day you bring your praise to God into your life. And when you come back next Sunday, God is glorified because every day is a holy day. Every place is a sacred place. And whatever you do in word or deed, Paul said, do it all for the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God good? Praise God. Every head bowed and every eye closed.